Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Lindsay Keeble. I'm a partner at Watson Farley & Williams, and I head up our maritime practice. I've slightly changed the topic advertised from restructuring as a business opportunity because I doubt that anyone sees it as that in the room, apart from maybe other lawyers that are listening. Going to look a little bit about how to avoid an uncontrolled collapse when you're looking at a restructuring, with an emphasis on how to mitigate what is already a bad situation for everybody involved. So I don't think you need a lawyer to tell you about the issues facing the market. You've heard about it already quite a lot today from the different market commentators and the sector-specific panels. So we're going to focus a little bit on the approach that we would recommend taking to manage such difficult discussions. The market conditions which are facing us mean that many companies are vulnerable to restructuring discussions, and there's very little that they can do about it. We're facing depressed shipping markets, which leads to insufficient cash flow to meet debt service. There are low asset values and limited fresh capital, although it's pleasing to hear that the private equity firms are still willing to lend you all money. We have the added complication of charter insolvencies such as Hanjin, and all of this combination is leading to waiver requests, LTV breaches, financial and other covenant breaches. Because of the issues facing companies and the fact that there are very few unencumbered ships to cure LTV breaches, there's no spare cash to make prepayments, and a lot of these conditions are market driven, this means that there is very little apart from having to go to your banks and ask for a restructuring discussions to start to take place. So what are the restructuring options? As mentioned earlier, it's not an ideal market for enforcement, and we place an emphasis on restructuring rather than enforcement as your first option. We hope that many banks' first reaction isn't enforcement, however disappointed with the situation that they may find themselves in. And we take the opportunity to first take stock and explore the options available. Enforcement may end up being the correct result and the only result possible for some situations, but we do feel it's best for everyone to have a consensual and open dialogue as a starting position. If you can maintain discussions and consider the requirements of your lenders, you would hopefully get a good solution. Failure to do so can just result in the loss of your restructuring option from a customer's point of view. One example of this, we were acting for lenders to Gadot a few years ago, and we were engaged in discussions which weren't open and cooperative. We were looking at ways with the bank to change this situation, and we agreed that the best thing to do would be to arrest the vessel. We looked around and we decided on appropriate jurisdiction, and we chose Rotterdam at the time, very lender-friendly jurisdiction, quick and efficient. And we decided to arrest the ship, and we made sure that everything was in place with the lenders in case the company just decided to hand back the keys. It was very effective. It brought the customers to the table, and the restructuring terms which the bank wanted were then implemented. But from an owner's point of view, it only had negative consequences. It was publicity that ensued from having one of your vessels arrested. There was an impact on costs. You had to pick up the legal bills. And then an impact on your ability to charter your vessel, potentially. So what can you do if you're an owner? Well, first of all, you need to keep your house in good order. It's key that you pay your trade payables and you don't overstretch your suppliers. I think we all know as suppliers of services how you like to stretch us, but I think there's always a limit. You need to also control your outgoings, and if you can evidence to your banks that you're running a good business, then your banks feel comfortable that you're worthy of being supported through the difficult times. If you don't do this, you risk arrest by your suppliers and for unpaid trade debts, and you'd be constantly firefighting and trying to keep your vessels operating to keep income coming in. Running a good business also enables you to offer transparency that the banks require. So then the next step is, well, you need to come up with a plan, and it should always be the owner that's driving what the plan should be. The key thing is to work out, can all parties' goals be reconciled? you have conflicting requirements of your stakeholders and also the regulatory pressures which the banks face. We acted for the banks to the Montanari Group a few years ago, and we had a variety of secured and unsecured creditors, Italian and non-Italian banks, and they all had very different interests. And we also were working within the constraints of the Italian bankruptcy regime and the new laws that were just recently at the time been brought in. But we found that having a well-organised COCOM with a good flow of information, even though it was painful at times, led to a good solution for both the bank and the company. You need to avoid surprises, and you need a plan to address what are the legitimate concerns of banks lending to you. We worked on the ZIM restructuring in 2014. It was a very large restructuring with complex legal issues and very different structures that needed to be managed. But the transparency was the key, especially where you have export credit agencies involved who need to fully understand the process to remain on board. Working with lenders across the board, we managed to find a structure with structural enhancements as well as improvements and offers of equity positions. So this enabled a restructuring to be achieved. Whether it stands the test of time, I think current markets are going to tell. You need to consider a balanced proposal. Fresh equity is going to be essential. This can be problematic where your company is controlled or majority owned by private equity interests, where they decide they've already put enough cash into the system and don't want to put in any more. Earlier this year, we worked on two restructurings on the MEP group, and it was the lack of equity which meant that eventually we had to result in an orderly close down of the business. The lack of equity meant that the company lost the restructuring option, and the banks had no choice but to put in place a process to hand over the keys to new owners. A deferral of payments, or a payment holiday, as people like to call it, is inevitable. Cash sweep is a very useful tool. We often see this implemented at the stage of a restructuring, where you're sweeping minimum cash over OPEX and a minimum cash balance. Exit fees, restructuring fees, you know that they're going to be needed as a company. The bank are going to need a fee for their pain, so it's worth considering what you'd like to offer up front. We also are seeing structural enhancements being required, for example, moving the assets into SPVs, providing a shares pledge over such assets. We've also been working recently on quite a few what we call bankruptcy remote structures with a Delaware trust, and these can be quite interesting, where you can include, considering the constitutional documents, you can include restrictions, such as creating fiduciary duties where the directors can owe fiduciary duties to the creditors rather than to the shareholders, which is a big change. The articles of incorporation of such Delaware trusts can also include provisions which require a golden share to vote, for example, on a bankruptcy filing. So this can be quite interesting for lenders. Asset disposal programme, again, is something that's often considered with large groups, but the question comes at what price should such disposals be made. We see a lot of requests from lenders for a most favoured nations clause, because I think the feeling is everybody wants to know that they're being treated equally. And while we're happy to include such things, we would urge caution that they don't necessarily have the most effect. It's very difficult to enforce such clauses due to confidentiality. So I thought we'd have a quick look at some of the key pitfalls to avoid. And you'll see that the pitfalls for both lenders and for the owners can often be the same. The key thing, though, is that you do not want to lose the trust between the parties. If you lose trust, you lose the restructuring option. To provoke arrest just leads to negative publicity and your name splashed over the cover of Lloyd's List. It was the arrest of one of the MEP ships in South Africa which led to the eventual close down of the business, which just led to costs and expense for the company and a loss of their equity. You equally don't want to be forced into an insolvency position. We've seen that a planned Chapter 11 can be very successful to disclaim onerous charters such as Genmar and OSG. And we all know the incredibly low bar to get yourselves in front of a US bankruptcy judge. But hopefully owners have seen that an unplanned insolvency filing such as Marco Polo and Zacchello does nothing for you. It just leads to the loss of your business and to the loss of your equity position. when owners choose the procedure and put their fate into the hands of the banks and into the hands of the judges, we find that you just often lose control. We worked on the insolvency of NSBI here in the UK. It was a Cyprus shipping company which chose to file for English insolvency administration. They relied on the advice of an insolvency practitioner telling them that they should file for administration to get protection, and it was a very ill-advised mistake. The lenders simply replaced the insolvency administrator with their chosen administrator, and the business was closed down and the shareholders lost all of their equity. The same risk for the banks apply. You don't want to be forced into an unplanned arrest and to take a knee-jerk reaction and arrest a ship. You may find yourself with the keys and that you suddenly become a vessel owner, which isn't something that most banks want to do. You equally don't want to push your company so far that they feel they have no option but to file for Chapter 11. When this is done, you're at the mercy of the US bankruptcy courts and you no longer can choose your own fate. The last two points I don't want to say too much on because they're very technical and legal and probably warrant a talk of their own, but it's important as a bank in a restructuring situation that you do not become a vessel owner by accident. By this I mean that you are not taking decisions for the owners, you're not running the show. You also don't want to take an equity position if you're not in the business of doing so. You don't want to structure your restructuring in such a way that you end up having equity position and be seen to be running the company, because you then assume the liability risks associated with that. So you need to be very cautious about taking a share in surplus earnings. You also need to be careful when you're structuring your restructuring fees or your exit fees. They should ideally be for a fixed amount. They shouldn't be linked to market value, because taking a value play, a value in the equity of the company, is meaning that you're also potentially taking the risk of the downside. We also think you should be very careful about intrusive covenants about how the company is run. And if you're looking at doing exit fees, you should try and use typical banking tools such as PIK interest, back-ended restructuring fees and cash sweeps. But most of all, you need to be reasonable in your expectations. So to conclude, while we can't change the markets, we do think with careful planning and consideration, when you're faced with a restructuring, that you can get hopefully the best result available to you. Thank you.